Mankind was born into sin, but mankind does not have to remain in his sin. You can't just confess and think you're saved. You have to believe in your heart. Good works don't get us saved. Neither do good works maintain our salvation. But because we have been saved, we have been called to do good works and walk in them.
Angels, demons, and the battle for the soul. Hello, troublemakers. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong from Open Door Church here at the studios at the illustrious tower where there's actually honey dripping from the walls. I just got through giving that testimony. If you don't know that, man, you need to look that up because that's a really big deal. Guys, I want to welcome you here to episode number 155. It is June the 16th, the 16th day, and 16 is a number that represents the love of God. Amen. So that's why there are 16 attributes of the love of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter. Right on, right on, right on. So you might as well be tapping off into the love of God here today. Guys, today on The Pulse, we've got kingdom updates and a powerful conversation with Pastor Fred Price Jr., who has a book that is called Angels, Demons, and the Battle for the Soul. And we're going to get off into some really cool, blurry stuff with a very good friend of mine, somebody I've been trying for a long time to get him here, but he's kind of a big deal. He's kind of he's a little bit stuck up. Don't y'all? Did you find that to be true?
So not true.
Okay. No, sir.
I'm sorry.
You guys will see. You guys decide for yourself. He's honestly one of the sweetest pastors.
And how he carries the presence of the Lord is really cool too, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. He's not stuck up. I'm just teasing. Anyway, he came out here, man, took a big chance coming out here. So I'm trying really hard to roll out the red carpet for this guy. But I'm hoping I don't ruin it. I mean, you know how
it's
I am.
There's a lot on the line today,
There's
Pastor.
A lot on the line today. And he's going to be with us. You're going to love him. I promise you, you're going to love him as we talk about angels and demons. And we're also going to be talking about the battle of the soul. And I want to just go ahead and just, I'm about to give a big update. But before I do, I would like to say hello. Hello to my friends all over the world, including Robin Lee Day, which is out in big time Mesa, Arizona. Who else is on here?
So we Miss have
Rebecca Tamayo. Some say tomato, but I always say tomayo.
That'll Who never get old. Today? We have George from Uganda.
Hello,
son.
George, my mm-hmm. son, George. George, what's going on? Hey, man, I talked to the machine gun preacher this morning and Sam Childers, and he was one of the conversations I had with this morning. And Brother George, we're going to be going up there to go see Brother Sam again whenever I come out and see you next month. So I sure do love you, son, and I call you blessed. I cannot wait to see you.
Yeah, we have Liz from South Africa. We have Brian from Ontario. We have Erica from Indiana. We have Adrian from Michigan. We have Alaska Rosie. We have Tara from Georgia. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love what we say in house. When you comment, when you share this podcast, you are being a media missionary. Do not forget. If it's your first time watching, please let us know where you're watching from. Pastor Troy O'Shea. We will all make fun of you.
Yeah, we'll actually make fun of
we'll
you.
Love
that's
on
that's
you.
Not true. We have a culture of honor here.
We'll love on you.
And we will honor you. And Amen. We might even say a prayer for you, but we will actually, just like my good friend, author Anne Marie, who is here. What part of the world are you from today?
So that's Anne, one of our moderators.
That's Anne Marie,
yep,
our
that's Anne
author
Marie.
Anne Marie.
She's an author. She has her own books.
What book does she have?
It's Dreams book. I'll let her share that with you.
Because you never read it. Just say,
I've
never
read it. Exactly.
Just say, I don't know. I don't read any of our coworkers' books. Never had much use for
it's
books
okay.
and such.
Because we're reading yours.
Yeah, exactly right. She's too busy reading mine. Which is a really
I see Teresa asked if we got the prayer cloths, and I believe we did
yes,
get them.
We just got the prayer cloths, which we need to open up the box and show you that.
Yeah.
What are you
really,
talking
really
about?
Really, really cool.
A package that you received today, and I have to give it to you after this.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have
Pretty
no
cool.
clue.
Hey, thank you for that.
Yeah. I just saw she asked. So, yes, Teresa, Aww. We did. Thank
Kansas
you.
City girl is here in the house right now. Also, too, Agaba Evans
wow,
is
Uganda.
Here from Uganda.
Three people from Uganda.
Hey, man, I call you blessed. Also,
man,
too, I
awesome.
See Judy from South Carolina is here. So Mr. Evans, what's going on? Hey, listen, I'm going to be with you cats in Uganda next month.
What is
And I love you and I bless you and call you guys
Trinidad and Tobago.
Wow, yes. Trinidad is here in the house. That's amazing. Right on.
Listen, we're a multicultural. We are a global church. We really are. I think it's always so interesting to me.
The Czech Republic just now joined us.
What?
That is crazy.
Hello, have you ever seen Pavelita? That's a pretty cool name. Pavelita.
Ohio's in the house.
Ohio, there's nobody from Ohio.
What's going on, Ohio?
Call you guys blessed. Branson, Missouri is here. Yeah, you know what, guys? Christy. We got the band back together, and I'm so jazzed about that. Guys, thank y'all so much for joining us here today. I got so many cool things that I want to talk to you about. But first, Ms. Shay.
Yes.
How are you?
Listen, I'm so excited for today. Not only do we have our special guest, you've got a ministry update that you're going to be bringing in a moment, and you guys are not going to want to miss that because we've just got so much going on. In addition to that, we have a lot of new ODX partners. So can I give some shout-outs real quick?
Yeah, I not just saw Mark is on here, too. And look at all these people, man. Mm-hmm. They're from everywhere. And also, too, I saw our Pastor Gary McGibbons in Ireland. So good to see our friends in Ireland. Hey, guys, all my Belfast family. Man, we're praying for you guys.
Yes,
we're praying for you.
We are.
Stand firm. This is a time, man, for the church to advance in Northern Ireland, man. This is your time. And friends, we are standing with you. And I'm sorry for all the hell that you guys have been going through. And I want you to know that the body of Jesus here in the United States is actually standing with you. And guys, we love you guys.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you to every single person. No, you're good. You're boss.
Did y'all see how she got mad? She gets so offended.
Can you tell how mad I am, you guys? This is how mad I am. But no, listen, you're the boss, Pastor. We flow with you wherever you want to take this train. But listen, I want to give some shout outs to some of our new ODX partners, guys, because we do media. We do all of this so that we can rescue kids. And when you partner with us at ODX.TV, then that enables us to do that. Plus, it gives you access to all of our content 24/7. So we've got a new lifetime member, Dane from North Carolina, Melanie from New Jersey.
Wow.
Welcome to our lifetime membership family. That is so incredible.
Hey, Dane. Hey, man, I call you blessed, buddy.
Yeah.
I really do. I call you blessed. And also, too, who is that?
Melanie.
Melody?
Melanie.
Melanie. So, hey, listen, we're putting together. So I want you to know that Shay has been a sluggard the past month. I've been telling her, put together an ODX meeting. And she's like, I'll get to it later. And at some point, she will be putting together another ODX weekend.
Yay.
Right, Shay?
Our events team. By the way, yes.
With our events team. There's other people involved besides you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's
I thought that you ran the whole show.
No.
I thought that you were like a big deal.
I mean, you're the big deal, Pastor.
Oh, I'm such a big deal.
You are.
Big deal
pickle.
Listen,
we are going to put together a special ODX weekend.
Okay.
And it's going to be really crazy cool. And we'll have more information on that coming up soon. But we also have some new Stage 2 partners. We've got 16. We've got shout out to Amy from
16,
Missouri.
Really?
Yeah.
We had 16 people join us on Stage 2. Just over the past week.
Amy,
hey, I praise God for you. I love you guys.
Linda and Daisy.
So, hey, tell everybody now that they've gone to Stage 2, what all can they take advantage of that they might not have had at Stage 1?
So, basically, if you join us at Stage 2 or Stage 3, you guys have access to more content. Some of our content is available in front of the paywall just as a Stage 1 member. But, for example, our Stage 2 members and Stage 3 members, when we go behind the veil later today on this episode, you're not going to be able to access that unless you're Stage 2 or Stage 3 on ODX.TV. So, for you... for our Stage 2 fam. That's just one of the many perks, but we've got a ton of exclusive content for everyone who's Stage 2 and Stage 3, and we're going to continue. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we've started really uploading. Pastor Troy's over here making fun of me. I'm trying to run this show.
You're doing a good job.
But listen, we've been really amping up our exclusive content for our Stage 2 and Stage 3 members. So if you're over there as one of those members, guys, just be ready because we got much more coming your way. So thank you, that being said. And for our new Stage 3 members, we've got two of them, Lorraine in Tennessee and Angela in Texas. Welcome. We love
you.
So glad that you're here.
Yes. And of course, if you're on Stage 3, as long as you're on Stage 3, every single ticketed event is free to you.
Yes.
Yeah. All of our conferences, everything. So you have the entire access to everything at ODX.TV. Plus, every single ticketed event, you don't got to buy no tickets. We don't need no stinking badges. All we got to do is be a Stage 3 or a lifetime member. And then, of course, man, you're helping me not only rescue kids, which, guys, we're rescuing more kids than I've ever rescued before in my whole life because our partnership is growing. But, guys, we're also raising these kids. And I'm about to give you guys a big update concerning all that. So before I give you my update, if you have not yet joined us as a Stage 2 or Stage 3 or Lifetime member, you can do so by calling 877-413-0888. And Tia and the team is waiting right now on campus at our calling center, which, Pastor Fred, I got to take you over to the calling center before you leave here today, man. We're going to have to do that.
Yeah,
you're going to see that. And then they're waiting right now. They're standing by. If you need a friend, if you need a prayer, or if you'd like to partner with us, call us at 877-413-0888. Now, if you would like to partner with us with the old snail mail, if you're an old codger like I am, and you don't trust these hippies that are watching, you know, Chinamen and all kinds of people in India that steal everybody's junk and all kind, I don't like any of those clowns. So I write a check. That's what I do. And if you would like to send in some snail mail, you can send that in P.O. Box 3775 Burleson, Texas, 76097. Okay. Okay. So should I just go right off into this update?
Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I have an urgent update that I need to send everybody. Now, look, I've been pretty silly because I'm in a really good mood today. But let me tell you some stuff. While I do not take myself very seriously, and we try hard to be fun because we talk about very difficult things, and we are a part of some very difficult things. This morning, I was a part of a rescue of a four-year-old little boy who is being sexualized in a horrible way. This morning, I was a part of a whole bunch of things, and I'm like that every single day of the week. So I purpose in my heart to have a lot of joy. I purpose in my heart to say, when we're going to be fun, we're going to be full of life. This is how I live my life. And it's a good way to live. It really and truly is. And even though I'm aware of lots and lots and lots of evil, I refuse to be impressed by it. I have a core value that says I will not be impressed with evil. I will be impressed with the goodness of the Lord. And surely I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Otherwise, I would have fainted. Right on. I would have given up. I couldn't have been a part. But I need to give you an update because I'm going to just tell you this. Whenever you see us say things like, hey, be sure and partner with us, or you see us celebrate our partners or all of our new Stage 3 or Stage 2 partners or the people that are lifetime, it's because there's this tremendous sense of urgency, and I need to talk to you about it. A good example is something that I was involved in this week, and I was even involved in it this morning. Last Thursday, we rescued a 19-year-old girl here in Texas. She's 19 years old, and there's a lot of advantages to that. If she's not 18 or below, we don't have to have special licensing to house her, okay? Which we go after that licensing, and we turn those kids over to, we just turned them over to law enforcement authorities, which is five, six times a week, okay? Five, six times a week here in Texas. We're rescuing a child that has to be turned over to authorities. And then we track where that kid is at. And we make sure that that kid is put in a place where we want them placed at. But it's really hard. And the reason it's hard is because the government intentionally makes it hard. There are less than 700 beds for trafficked children in the entirety of all 50 states of the United States of America because it is impossible to get the licensing for that. We have to change that. I have made several trips to Washington, D.C. this year. I have another big trip coming up next week to Washington, D.C. I'm actually had the privilege of meeting with the AFPI Council and also, too, with the Trafficking Council and the Trafficking Task Force. We are whiteboarding out what all the obstacles that we need and godly people need and that the church needs to be able to obtain the licensing that up until now has been impossible. For example, to my knowledge, there is not one single person Not one single person out of the 350 million people in the United States that has a license for migrant minors that are pregnant. So where do all of these pregnant children go? Where do all these pregnant 11, 12, and 13-year-old children go when they're actually captured and they are set free? They go from one foster care house to another, and they can only stay 30 days in there because the house does not have the proper licensing. That is so unhealthy for a child. A child that doesn't speak our language, a child that doesn't know our culture, a child that needs parents who does not have them, and a child who is actually pregnant. We're talking about children. So we rescue tons of 11-year-olds, tons of 12-year-olds, tons of 13 and 14-year-old girls, excuse me, who need their parents, and they need good godly adults with them, and they're actually going through the difficulty of their own pregnancy. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happens is they will land in a sanctuary city. They will land in front of a liberal judge who will grant them back over to their custodial parents. And guess who their custodial parents are? It's the cartel. It's the traffickers. And this is why Joe Biden lost 350,000 children that were supposed to be under the care of the United States of America. Now, recently, we have found as many as 160,000 of those children, and I praise God for that. But there's still another 350. So there was almost a 500,000 kids that came into our system, and then we lost. We have found around 160,000 of those children since the Trump administration, and there's still another estimated 350,000 children out there that nobody knows where they are. What DPS is saying, they're reporting that they are being molested as many times as a dozen times a day. And I want to tell you, by our statistics and by the way that we look at this and by the things that we monitor, I would say that's pretty low average. It's pretty low average. So it's so important that the body of Jesus get involved in this and that these kids are turned over to us. Yeah. Yes, they need to be vetted, but it doesn't need to be impossible. And there's a lot of good, godly people that would step up and say, I want these kids in my house. I want to love them. I want to help them. But legislation has been keeping us. Our own government has been keeping us from actually doing this. They say, just trust us. We're from the government. We're here to help. Yeah, those are terrifying words, as President Ronald Reagan actually said. So we have to take these kids in, and then it's going to cost money. It's going to cost a lot. Well, now that I've said that, understand this. In the midst of me raising over 6,700 children right at this very second, I have over 6,700 children that are under my care that we have rescued out of trafficking all over the world. In the midst of that, a lot of the rescues that we do are 19 and 20 and 21 and 22-year-old girls. How many 30-year-olds do you rescue? Not that many. Why? Because they don't live to be that long. That's why. They just don't live to be 30 years old. So if you don't get them in their early 20s, you're probably just not going to get them. This is the cold reality of what we face and what we have been fighting now for 30 years. And while I play and while I'm a joker and all those things, I'm not joking about this and I don't play about this. This is the role of the body of King Jesus. And if we don't step up, friends, there's nobody else coming. So this 19-year-old girl, she's 19. I don't know if you remember how you were when you were 19. I was saved when I was 19 years old. And, you know, me being a boy, a boy's frontal lobe is not even fully developed until we're well into our mid-20s. And so our brain is not even developed. This is a girl who's been prostituted. This is a girl who's been trafficked. This is a girl who has suffered terrible drug abuse. Well, she's made bad choices. Okay, no, you don't. Listen, it's not just that she's made bad choices. It's that she's had to live a terrible life. And you don't judge them, you help them.
That's good.
That's what you do. You help them. Or else you just need to keep your trap shut. And I'm all about helping these girls. Well, we got her last Thursday. Okay, because we've been trying to get her placed into a specialized rehabilitation center, we have had to actually babysit her for the past 7 days. This is why you and I need to build our own licensed rehab facilities for trafficked women. This is why we need to do that here in the state of Texas. I have them in Mexico. I have them in Belize. I have them in all the Central American nations. I have them in Colombia. I have them in Peru. I have them in Brazil. I have them in Uganda. I have them in Tanzania. I have them in India. I also have them in Nepal and also have them in Cambodia. Okay, you and I as partners, we pay for all that. But here in the United States of America, we've never been able to tap into it because of 30 years of hostility from our own government. And now the tide is turning. Okay, hear me say this. It is so difficult to babysit these grown women, or in this case, a 19-year-old teenager, for that time because she could change her mind during that time. She could start jonesing. Mm-hmm. She could start having physical and emotional issues. People could be after her, and we have to babysit her in a very difficult way while we are waiting for a placement opportunity. I need to change that. And I want to change that.
Yeah.
And I cannot do it without your support. And I'm asking you guys, will you please, if you're not already supporting us, will you please consider going to troybrewer.com and going, I'm going to step up and I've got to help Troy do this thing. Because we have to serve and protect these girls. Mm-hmm. We have to support the existing ministries that are already doing this. And then, guys, we got to build our own. Yeah. I don't know if I explained that very well or not, Ms. Shea.
No, yeah. I think that was really good. I just think, you know, when you started it by saying this is an urgent situation, and it and this situation with a 19-year-old highlights why we so urgently need to have these safe homes here in the U.S. You guys know that we've been working on this home in Branson, Missouri. That's still in the works. We've got another home in an undisclosed location that we're working on as well. But it is so important that we get the funding that we need in order to outfit these places and make them a safe place so that these girls, I mean, just think about this 19-year-old girl. She's in a safe home, but to be honest, the place is temporary. Like you said, it's not in a great part of town. And what happens is these thugs sit outside the safe homes.
They're literally outside
for the women to come out. So we've had to, like you said, literally babysit her, bring her food.
We have to have grown men that are not afraid of these guys that run them off.
Yeah.
And these are pimps. These are cartel guys. They're demon possessed. It's dangerous. And now for a week, we've been having to do that.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. We actually have a safe house in Central Texas.
Yeah.
And we are about to get that place fixed up. I just now bought it. Way to go, partners.
Yeah.
We just now bought it. There's 60-something acres. It's got a high fence all the way around. It's completely secure, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. Okay. Now there is a 6,500-square-foot house that is on this property. Mm-hmm. We're about to fix up this house. We're going to fix up the bedrooms in it. And then check this out. If you, ladies, are you somebody that would like to be an advocate for these girls that we rescue? Because what's real is we have to have strong women with them that know the Lord and see it as a ministry to help them through their stuff. And I want to tell you, they got some stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not for, hey man, if you've lived behind stained glass your whole life, this probably isn't for you. But if you come out of something, and if you've been victorious in it, and if you'd like to be trained and licensed to be an advocate for these girls who actually stays with the girls while the guys are guarding them, call us. Call 877-413-0888 and say, ooh, that's me. I want to get in on that. Because we're about to have a bunch of opportunities in Branson. We currently have some opportunities right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then we're about to have a bunch of opportunities in another part of the state that I can't tell you where. And it, you know, what would that look like? It would mean you would get a phone call in the middle of the night and we'd say, okay, you're on the list. Okay, good. Whoever your boss would be would call you and say, can you get up here? We're actually about to bring a girl to this safe house or to Open Door Church or to that place or that place. The police is coming. These guys are coming. There needs to be some women that just pour into this girl's life. And then as we're waiting to get her place, she sits in one of our safe houses and women have to stay with her and help her through the hell that she is going through. And it may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be spiritual. If you're like, I think I could cast the devil out of somebody. Good, man. Come on, man. Let's go. And love on these girls and help them through and help talk them out of bailing out before they get placed. And just like, no, darling, you need to be set free. And this is going to do it. And it's going to be worth it. I promise it is. I believe that you will probably build relationships for life. I believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And if you'd like an opportunity to be a part of that team, of course, we're going to have to vet you. And you're going to have to be qualified, and we're going to have to help you through that process. But guys, we're opening that up. So call 877-413-0888. Tia, honey, if you're watching the show right now, please tell all the teams to get their names, get all of their information, and we will have somebody else contact them back. How was that?
That's so great. Good.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to be responding to that.
I think so. I think a lot of people are going to be responding to that. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is with us, and we need places to put these rescues that we can get them out of their circumstances immediately and then figure out what their long-term care is and then get them into long-term care. And then we need to build the long-term care facilities as well. We need all the above. And that's what it is that we're going after.
There's someone from Branson. Can you answer a question about the babies, or do you know if we were able to do that? Well, she's Christine from Branson. She's like, I'm waiting for you guys to come down here. Pastor Troy, what do they do with the babies that they have found? Are they in a good place? What do they do with them?
Yeah, so the babies that we have found. So are we talking about here in the United States?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So a big part of our ministry is actually rescuing babies. Mm-hmm. That is a big, big part of our ministry. In fact, we have babies' homes that is for nothing but babies in several different nations. Uganda is our flagship, where we have over 1,000 babies that we have actually rescued and we're raising as we speak. Those are specialized babies' homes, and they go into what we call a forever home. Okay. Well, do you adopt them out? No, we typically don't. We typically just raise them in a forever home that involves a family and involves brothers and sisters. Once they get out of high school, that's still their home. Once they go to college, that is still their home. Even after they move out and they get married and they have kids, that is the home that they come back to see their mom, which is the grandmother to their children too. And that is a beautiful, you know, one of the things that we don't do is we don't try and Americanize children. I'm American enough for all of us. I mean, you cut me, I will bleed red, white, and blue. When we're in Uganda, those are Ugandan kids, and they have something to offer that Americans do not. When they're in South America, those are South American children. They have something to offer that Americans do not. We are not here to Americanize the world. We're here to bring the kingdom.
Amen.
That's what it is that we're trying to do. So we typically do not bring them out of the country. They typically stay in the same exact nation. And by the way, bringing those kids from there to here, that's actually trafficking, and that is against the law. And so you can't do that. Here within the United States, the Branson home is actually for pregnant girls. That's what the Branson home is. It has 70 beds. They have birthed, I think, 68 babies out of there. And then sadly, they went through a bunch of hardship, and then they had to shut it down. That house has been sitting vacant, completely furnished. A dang near 40,000 square foot house with 30-something bedrooms in it and 70 beds in it. It's been sitting vacant for 5 years. So can these dry bones live? I think they can. And guys, we're hoping to resurrect that ministry. Here's a really cool picture of the house. It is something else, guys. It is something else. It's one of my favorite houses on the whole planet Earth. I love that house. I love that home. It's south of Branson, Missouri. And it's fully equipped, and it's ready to rock and roll, guys. It's ready to rock and roll. Dude, it has a harp. There's a big old giant harp. I think you girls were there with me one time.
Yeah, we were there one night. It was pretty
good. Let's bust out that harp and see if we can play it.
We played the piano. But that was fun.
I mean, it was
I busted out my
incredible.
Guitar, and we sang in there.
There's such a good acoustic set.
The church, too.
The church, too.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
It was amazing. Really cool.
So, guys, in full disclosure of everything that, you know, we're working on, which is so much, I mean, even my son is down in Mexico City right now. We have one of the biggest events of the whole year is taking place today on this day. Mm-hmm. And we are having a big quinceañera for 150 rescued girls that are 15 years old this year.
Yes.
And they're turning 15. 150. And so what that means is my son has to do the daddy-daughter dance with all 150 today. Wow. And it is an all-day long hootenanny. It's ridiculous. And at great expense, I might add. Like, well, that probably only cost a few $1,000s. Yeah, per kid. Per kid. And there's 150 of them. So, again, we wouldn't be able to do that and take them through that very important rite of passage, which is the understanding of the power of a prophetic act. Amen. And to say, you are no longer an abused little girl. You are now a victorious young woman.
Wow.
And that is taking place today, which is just beautiful.
So beautiful. Oh,
I bet you your quinceañera was something.
Yeah, it was. It was like a wedding. I remember that day. It was beautiful. It's just crazy to think, well, in our culture, in our Latin culture, we believe at 15 is a transition of a young girl into womanhood. So it's a big deal for us.
It's a big
women.
Deal. Yeah. Okay, and did you go through a bat mitzvah?
I did, yeah.
So, Ron,
what is that?
So you had a bat mitzvah, which is your rite of passage
it's a rite of
among
passage.
Our Jewish friends.
Okay.
So it's like, okay,
So what happens at a bat mitzvah?
So you
you're 13,
learn,
correct?
Between 12 and 13. So I think I was 12 when I had mine. You have to learn all of these blessings in Hebrew. You have to like literally read from a Torah. So you read a Torah portion, then a Haftorah portion, which is like outside of the Torah.
Wow.
From the Old Testament. And then you read from the, because we're Messianic Jews, we also read from the Brit Chadashah, which is the New Testament. And then you have to give a speech. So you write a speech. Gosh. And you got to give a speech.
That's intense.
And I remember working on that with my dad. So you have to like, I mean, it's months and months of preparation, mm-hmm. just learning the blessings because you sing them mm-hmm. as well. And then you have an after party and that's really fun.
That's fun.
That's the whole thing.
Understanding being a part of the cultures of the world mm-hmm. and having traveled to 60 something nations throughout the world, I understood, dude, we don't have a rite of passage. Mm-hmm. As a Texan, we don't have rites of passage. And you need that.
Yeah.
You need that. There needs to be a day of before that day yeah. and after that day. So for my girls, mm-hmm. I did something beginning the day they were born. I started writing them letters and putting them in a box. And then all through their school life, I would write them letters, tell them how proud I was of them. And I would say, today you did this, today you did that. It was so cool. And then both of my girls, Megan, who is going to be 40 this year, which is nuts. And then Rayma, who is 33, for Megan and for Rayma, on their 18th birthday, I took them to downtown Dallas. We went to the Reunion Tower. We went up there at that 5-star mm-hmm. restaurant, dressed them up in prom dresses, and they had a daddy date. We had a tomahawk steak, and I busted out the box of their letters, and they read all their letters that I've been writing to them their whole life.
That's awesome.
And we sit there. It takes an hour for the, it rotates.
It rotates.
You know,
yeah.
you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It rotates.
I've been there.
And it takes an hour. And it was a full 2 rotations for them to read through every single one of their letters.
Wow.
It took them 2 hours. That's how many letters I'd written them. And they both just sit there and cried and laughed.
That's so cool.
I love that.
And I went,
that.
From this day forward, I will call you a young woman. Amen. And I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. My boys on their 16th birthday.
Yeah, I love this.
On their 16th birthday, I took them out in the middle of nowhere. And we went out to, like in Ben's case, we went out to this lake, just the two of us. And at midnight, trucks started pulling up. And mind you, I had a big roaring fire going. We were fishing. I had a tent set up. And just outside, it's just me and my boy, Ben. And then he's like, I remember Ben being very disappointed. And he said, who is that? I said, well, it's your grandpa. And who's that? Well, that's Brian Dobson. Who is that? That's John Ledbetter. Who is that? Is this guy this? He said, Daddy, I thought it was just going to be me and you. And I saw this look of terrible disappointment. I said, son, they're not here for me. They're here for you, buddy. And he's like, what are you talking about? And they got out and every one of them had prepared a speech. And we stood around the fire and my 16-year-old beautiful little boy stood there. My dadgum eye holes are going to start leaking. And they prophesied over them and said, this is why I love you, Ben.
Wow.
And this is what I see in you. And then my daddy, who's since gone on to be with the Lord, he actually had this awesome word, and it was so cool. And then they got to me, and then I told them, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I recognize you as a man. Mm. It's an honor to be your dad. And then I gave him his own prayer sword, and I said, get in a fight with me. Let's fight together.
So good.
And I did that for Ben, and I did that for Luke whenever he turned 16. And it was life-changing. And then we all laid hands on them, and we just spoke the word of God over them. Mm-hmm. And then we stayed up all night long. We fished.
That's so cool.
I think it's very important to have rites of passage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, most kids grow up never hearing their daddy say, I love you and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to be your dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the very first words that Jesus ever heard the Father speak publicly was, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And that was before Jesus ever did a single miracle. Whatever issues Jesus was going to have, it wasn't going to be daddy issues.
Wow.
All right.
That's good.
Wow.
All right.
Well, you know what, guys? We're going to go to a video, and I'm going to show you the video of Branson, Missouri, and the dream that we have to fill that place up. And then whenever we come back, we're coming back with Pastor Price, who I love, and we're going to be talking angels, demons, and we're going to be talking about the fight for our souls. Watch this.
Can these dry bones live? Can these burnt stones rebuild the temple, as the Bible says? Yeah, I think they can. Can these halls be filled with laughter again, joy and hope? Can this home actually be filled with kids who will never, ever have to worry about being sold off into trafficking again? I know they can. Can these rooms be filled with pregnant mamas who didn't know what they were going to do or how they were going to do it, but now they have a hope and a future? You know what? That's exactly what King Jesus promises all of us. So how about we take on that promise? How about we take on that mantle? And we say, this is our responsibility. This is who we are called to be. This is what Jesus would have us to do. You know, we always say the prayer, let his will be done upon this earth, even as it is in the heavens. But this is where it's real. This is where you can see it every single day. This is actually where it matters. I know that this is God's dream. Is this your dream? It's my dream. I want to ask you to help me. Will you please consider helping me make this dream come true for untold numbers of young women who have no idea that we're coming to get them? There's so much hope and there's so much promise. And you know, I don't even know any of these girls yet, but I'm going to, and I'm going to know them for the rest of their life. This is where these kids become family.
Well, my goodness, guys, I hope that y'all are jumping in. I hope that you're as excited about that as I am. Thank you so much for partnering with us. And I look forward to giving you guys an awesome testimony about it. Now, Fred Price Jr. is a pastor of Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles, California, and the leader of Ever Increasing Faith Ministries. He carries on the legacy of his dad, Dr. Fred Price. My goodness. And he carries on that great legacy while helping a brand new generation understand the power of God's Word. He's got a book that's called Angels, Demons, and the Battle for the Soul. Welcome, my friend, Pastor Fred Price Jr. Hello, my friend.
Hello. It's an honor to be here.
Gosh, I can't believe I finally got you here, man. Honestly, thank you for coming. I can't imagine what your schedule is like, and I know that you have a young, beautiful family and all those kinds of things, and here you are today.
Listen, I said it at NRB. I'm humbled to be in the same space as you because of how long I've been watching you and what I've known of you, and I know we are kindred spirits. So again, it's my honor, my pleasure to be with you in fellowship and just talk about the kingdom.
Right on. You know, you've been with me this morning. You went to the pastor's meeting. You've been with me in many of my office meetings. You've seen how we do things behind the scenes. What's your takeaway so far, man?
I feel like I'm at home.
Good.
It feels like family. The Good. Pastor's meeting, the authenticity, the organic nature and feel of it was just, I mean, it was warmth, it was ministry, it was iron sharpening iron, and hearing from the leaders. So I definitely took some notes. I think I want to implement some things when I get back home.
Well, brother, we have so much to learn from you as well, but I always ask people when they come spend the day with us, just like, you know, what's that like for you, you know, on your end of things? We have a really unique ministry. We really do. And I truly love my teams. And I see the battles they fight and always feel a little bit sorry for them because of the big battles we fight. But I also am thrilled that they get to be a part of it. We call it a terrible privilege.
Yeah.
It's all a big, terrible privilege. And so anyway, we're certainly not perfect, but man, we're going after Jesus.
Amen. Right. Amen on. To that.
Well, you and I, man, we spent some time together out at the NRB talking about just the precepts in your books. And, you know, out of all the things that I would think that somebody with your name would come out with, I would not think that it would be blurry. Yeah. I wouldn't think that. And so what was your introduction to all things blurry? What was that like?
End of 2003, I was in the pastoral office. I was being trained in the pastoral ministry. Our senior administrative pastor, Papa Hayes, he's in heaven now with my father. He had a massive library. And so I'm looking through his library. I'm looking at his books. I'm like, Papa Hayes, who's this? I never heard of this guy. And then I get to this long green book, and it looks old. It looks ancient. And it's called Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin. And so he began to tell me about him. He said, take the book to your office. Read through it. So I'm looking through this book, and I'm reading things, and I'm seeing things that I'd never heard before. All of these charts on the heavenly hierarchy. He's got stuff about how the pyramids in Egypt speak to Revelation and the end times. He's got making distinctions between demons and angels and cherubim and seraphim. I mean, he is not referring to these other creatures as angels, but he is referring to them as celestial or heavenly. Mm-hmm. And I never heard any of this before. Nuances in heaven and hell. I'm like, okay, this is my kind of stuff, because I'm a bit of a nerd already. And so superheroes and science fiction, sure, and fantasy interested me. And I'm like, this is all in the Bible. I knew angels were in there. I knew demons were in there, but yeah, I didn't know it was to this degree. And so that's what really opened the door.
Okay. So what the Bible refers to as celestials, right? Meaning, okay, God has always had a plan to have a celestial family and a celestial hierarchy and an earthly family with an earthly hierarchy. Right now, we in the Western world, we just chalk it all up to angels and demons and people. Okay. But the Bible's a lot more complicated than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Way more detail. Of course, under the New Testament, we are children of God who can become sons of God, living spirit led lives. But who are the sons of God in the Old Covenant?
Come on.
We see that phrase, we see that wording. We know it's not referring to blood washed believers, because Calvary had not yet occurred. So who was the Father speaking to? And Job really clues us in as to who the sons of God were. So when we see that same wording in Genesis, it's like, oh, something strange has occurred here. And I remember talking with my dad about these scriptures, and I'm like, Dad, am I reading this correctly? He's like, yeah, I've never felt led to touch on it, but you are reading what you're reading, and it is saying that. And so that also kind of just really sparked me on this journey of what's going on, what was going on in the days of Noah, what was happening in the days of Nimrod, what's up with all these giant tribes, what's going on with all of this, as you say, all this blurry stuff. And I've been intrigued ever since. It's been a 22-year journey, and I'm still learning.
I'm still learning too. You were asking me, when did I start becoming blurry? And I was like, well, I got thrown into it through rescuing kids and the introduction of little g gods. Mm. Like, well, there's no such thing as little, I mean, we're obviously monotheists. You know, we don't believe in other gods, all this supernatural stuff. It's just weird. And I'm like, well, no, actually we do. In fact, the Bible refers to all these other celestials, not just as demons, but as little g gods, meaning, I mean, the Bible calls him little g gods. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. There's no other gods beside God. Well, there's no other God like our God.
Yeah.
Right? He's the creator of all things. But not all of them are just fallen angels. They're actually celestial, powerful beings. Some of them holy, some of them fallen. Like in the book of Daniel, it talks about a watcher, which of course the book of Enoch talks about a lot about watchers, but he says, I saw a holy watcher. I think the reason why he said, I saw a holy watcher, is because everyone was so familiar with the first book of Enoch at that time that they probably assumed that they were all fallen. Right. He's like, no, they're not all fallen. So can you imagine just among the watcher class of angels, the epic civil war that has happened between those guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they loved each other.
Absolutely.
You know, they loved each other. You know that they, and imagine the epic civil war that has happened within the heavenly realms. It's fascinating to me.
And I believe that it has not just spiritually, but physically affected the cosmos. Like if you look at just images of the planets and the asteroid belt.
Yep.
I mean, it looks like it's the after effect of some battle of some war that was waged in times past.
Even knucklehead scientists will tell you the asteroid belt is just like the rings around Saturn. Mm-hmm. That was once something else that has been blown to pieces.
Yeah.
And now it's in the orbit around the sun. So that was like planets. So there was like planetary warfare that was actually going on. And I mean, we still see evidence of it today.
Yeah, I believe, and I can't prove it, but I do believe that there is a planetary reference in, it's Ezekiel or Isaiah's account of Lucifer when God tells him, you walked through the midst of fiery stones.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, what kind of sense does that make?
Yeah.
Unless these fiery stones, just like the way we refer to Earth as this great big rock.
Yeah.
I'm thinking those fiery stones and walk through the mist, right? In the space of them, in the core of them. I believe that's referring to planets. And so again, one of these scriptures that clue us in as to how cosmic the events were and the consequences were in eternity past.
Come on, brother. Okay, so I want to just say, I don't mean to speak anything that's blasphemous. I mean, there is only, our God is God.
That's right.
Okay? But yet our God judges the gods of Egypt. Okay, that's not a metaphor. Mm-mm. He actually judged the gods of Egypt. And so whenever he comes down to the heavenly council and God comes down, Yahweh comes down amidst the other gods and says, now you shall die as mortal men. He's talking to a class of beings that he created. And I also specifically think when it comes to the Watchers, the reason why the Watchers and teamed up with the sons of God and many of the star class angels, the stars of God, right? They're called stars.
Yep.
Like, well, that's ridiculous. Stars are stars. Yeah, until you see Bethlehem.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, no, it's also in the New Testament. And then you see angels falling as stars, right? So those, there are star class angels. I've got a whole list of different angels here I'll bring up here in a minute. But I first just want to talk about the idea of other gods. This is very biblical. It is very kingdom, but it's not very Western Christian.
Right.
And we have to be able to differentiate the rest of that, of our construct of Western Christianity is in fact a construct. It's not the devil.
Right.
It's not the devil. It's not the devil. But it is in fact a construct of us grasping to try and understand the scriptures through a Western worldview mm-hmm. as opposed to an Eastern worldview.
Yeah. Well, there's a word I don't often hear it used in church circles, but there are some scholars who believe that before Israel was monotheistic, that they were something called monolatristic.
Mm-hmm.
And monolatry is the idea that there is a supreme God, which would be Yahweh, but there may be lower level or lower tiered gods as well.
Yes.
And so, and I believe the Bible speaks to this in a number of ways, but of course, you know, we get to, the verse you mentioned, he said, I'm going to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt.
Yep.
But then Paul even talks about it in 1 Corinthians 8. He basically says they're not gods like our God, but they have been worshipped.
Yes.
These are idols. And then even in 1 Corinthians 12, he refers to them as dumb idols. Hmm. So, I mean, there are these divine creatures that have been worshipped by people groups for eons, for thousands of years. I firmly believe that true angels of God, because we see it in the scripture, they shun worship and redirect it to the Father.
Yes, they do.
Because when there were individuals who bowed to them, they said, please see that you don't do that.
Yeah. That's right.
But then you have angels of light, or those who transform into angels of light, they will receive that worship. And we've seen religions get birthed out of result of an enlightened creature encountering a human, and the rest is history.
So we have to be able, as I said, to be able to differentiate between our theology that is Western Christianity and our theology that is actually biblical kingdom.
Right.
And many times those worlds clash. And then we go, my God, man, you're teaching something heretical. Like one of the things that I get accused of heresy of a lot when I start speaking on these things is the Watcher class angels, because there's this crazy thing that I can see throughout the Bible where God sees something because he's all knowing, but he doesn't see it legally. And until he sees it legally, Okay. He can't do anything about it. So it's like when God shows up to Abraham and says, I must go and see if the thing I have heard is true. When God shows up and says, Adam, where are you? It's not that he doesn't know, but it's like there's another step that he has to take. Whenever God shows up to Cain and says, where's your brother? And then he says, well, your brother's blood cried out to me from the ground, meaning I heard it. Now I'm here to see it.
Yeah.
So he legally heard it, and now he was there to legally see it. And I think that the Watcher class angels are called Watchers.
Yeah.
They are supposed to report in the heavenly throne room as to what they see and what they don't see. And they're like, look, I know he can see us, but he can't see us legally. We can get away with this.
Right. Right.
And we can get things set up in such a way that by the time he comes down to see it, because he can't even respond to it unless blood cries out to him. He put this thing in blood that says, if I can't see it, I'll still be able to hear it because blood will cry out to me from the ground.
Yeah.
And it's going to alert me and it's going to let me know. So then I'm going to go to the watchers who are in charge of that authority in the midst of that hierarchy and say, what am I not seeing down there? And if they don't report that, there is some kind of legal steps that he has set up. Like, wait a minute, why would God limit himself to legal steps for the sake of our redemption?
Yeah.
It's all about redeeming us is what it's about. He literally has limited himself in so many different ways so that he can jump through all these hoops to make sure that we actually get redeemed.
I think that's the true display of his power.
Come on.
To limit himself.
Come on.
When you have the ability to do whatever you want to do, but you limit yourself based on your own word, which is why the Bible says he could find none greater, so he swore by himself.
That's exactly right.
I mean, he truly is a God of his word. And to touch on what you said about the watchers and the legality of God, I mean, I even think about the case of Michael in Revelation 12. And when you pay attention to the wording, it's very telling. The scripture says Michael and his angels fought the dragon and his angels. It's like, well, wait a minute. Don't all the angels belong to God? Why is the scripture, why is John referring to this group of angels as belonging to Michael? It just shows the degree and level of authority that God has given Michael. Yes, God created them, but he gave Michael a degree of authority. He's like, okay, Michael, these angels, they report to you. They're your responsibility. And so I believe that there are a number of leading angels. I believe that in the seven archangel theory, according to Revelation 8:2, I do believe Gabriel is one. I know the Bible only refers to Michael as an archangel, but that word means chief.
That's correct.
And so we know in Daniel, the wording is one of the chief princes. Mm. Michael's referred to as one of the, so there must be other ones. So when you just look at this hierarchy, look at this structure and the meticulous detail of the hierarchy, and you see where God has limited himself by way of the laws he has established. Again, I believe that that's the true showcase and true display of his power.
I mean, Jesus made himself a mortal man.
Yeah.
I mean, literally born of a woman and was a 6-pound baby Jew in Bethlehem. Good, googly, moogly, brother.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. And why would he do that? For the sake of redemption.
Yeah.
He wants to redeem us.
Yeah.
And so these things are actually for our benefit. They're not for his benefit.
Right.
They're actually for our benefit.
Yep.
That's incredible. So in understanding these other little g gods that God Almighty created, we have to understand that our faith or our belief is defined as total allegiance and loyalty to Yahweh God is demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the absence of belief of other little g gods or celestial beings. It is our total loyalty to Yahweh God as demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ. And another word for that is henotheism.
Yeah.
So you actually have that word. And if we're going to have a theism, heno describes the belief in other gods, but that our God is supreme and we are completely loyal to him.
Yeah.
Even King David, when he was railing at Saul, you know, he's got a divide between the two of them, which is very telling as well. That's very interesting to me. It's just like Abraham and Lazarus and the rich young ruler. There is a chasm. There's a great gulf fixed between them. And he's talking to Saul in real life. And he's there in En Gedi somewhere. And, you know, you've been there probably. I've been there. And you're standing there. You got this. Hey, you can be on that side of the cliff. I can be on this side of the cliff.
Right.
And David says to him, why have you subjected me where all I can do is serve other gods over here?
Mm,
like, right. I can only serve Yahweh in Israel on that dirt.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, that's how much he believed in that.
Right.
And he's like, do you know how horrible it is that no matter what I do over here, it's just to the benefit of these other gods and it's not to the benefit of Yahweh? And dude, you did that.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't
it? That's heavy. That's heavy.
Yeah. It reminds me of Naaman, whenever Naaman, because these gods were associated with territory.
Right.
And our God, Yahweh, whenever he sent Moses down from the mountain, not only did he establish the law, but he also established the fact that he was the king of Israel. So the only nation in the world that he has said, I am the king of.
Right.
I'm the king of this one. And that's why God told, gosh, who was it? That was before Saul, the last judge. I almost said Gideon, but not Gideon. Who's the last judge? Come on.
Wait, I don't know.
Before Saul.
Yeah, who was the prophet to Saul?
Oh, right.
Come on.
Samuel.
Samuel, thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, man.
There's a lot in that.
Right on. Okay, I know. So whenever God tells Samuel, he says, don't worry, they didn't reject you that they want another king. They've rejected me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is coming back as the king of Israel. Yeah. To fight all the other, and he's coming back with us, right on. So we have a different covenant in that he is our salvation. With him, with them, he is their king. And the one new man is to know Jesus as both Savior and King.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal.
It is.
Okay, so with that said, he said, no, man, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And then that territory of kingship, which is part of the hierarchy of all of these different angelic forms, whether holy or fallen, is always associated with an ability or a task within a certain realm.
Yeah.
Okay? And so in the earth realm, that is actually territories. It's actually physical territories. Dude, Naaman, when that joker got leprosy cast off of him, he comes back to the man of God, Elisha, and he says, look, take all this money. He's like, I don't want none of your business. He said, well, then at least let me take back a donkey full of dirt from Israel so that when I'm in this unholy temple and my civic duty is to hold up the arms of the king as he worships this other god, so that I can put some kind of dirt underneath my knees so I can still be serving Yahweh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
That's pretty far out to me.
It is.
Cosmic space is a really big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we look at, going back to Daniel 10, you talked about spaces and regions and territories.
Come on.
I mean, Daniel 10 talks about the Prince of Persia, mentions the Prince of Persia, and then mentions the Prince of Greece.
Come on.
Which means there were princes who would follow, like the Prince of Rome. It has to be an influential celestial entity placed by God, one place by the adversary. Who will that ruler listen to? And so we see wicked, godless kings clearly giving heed to wicked, evil spirits like the Prince of Persia and like all of the nations that would take Israel into captivity or lord over Israel. I believe that those were all ruling spirits, all specific princes that were assigned to these nations and assigned to the rulers of these nations.
Okay, we're about to go behind the veil, and behind the veil is exclusive to people that partner with us at odx.tv.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool way to set things up in that.
Absolutely.
And so, man, we got all these partners. The rest of this, everything else that we talk about, as we're talking about angels and demons, as we're talking about this, we're going to do that behind the veil. We're also going to answer questions. Do you have one single question that you think that we should answer, Ms. Shea?
Let me see.
Let's go through that one.
There's a lot of comments. People are saying there was one, but I didn't quite understand I think there was like a typo in it, but people are just saying, this is so good. This is so informative. Teresa, this is amazing stuff. Sarah Spencer, this is so informative. Our God is great. I think people are really, really loving how you guys are diving into this.
So the reason why there's so many blurry things upon the earth in these last days that are as the days of Noah, right, is because how they manifest in certain realms and territories can differ depending upon what kind of little g god or angelic form or demonic form you're dealing with, and also, too, how they interact with their realms and what they crossbreed with.
Yeah.
Those are all different manifestations.
Yes.
And sometimes it just is what it is with the thing that it is. Like, that's a thing all by itself. Like, what? No, it's either an angel or a demon. No, that form of cryptid may be its own class of species that come from its own class or species of something fallen that has mingled with something that was illegal for it to mingle with.
Yeah.
And the power and the realm, the power that it has, the authority it has, and the realm that it's involved in will differ from one to another to another.
Yeah. Well, nations that were eventually will become far removed from each other, we would have to ask the question, why did all of their mythologies have these hybridized creatures?
Yes.
Where did they get these concepts from? Yeah. They weren't identical, but they were very similar to each other. That goes back to an origin point.
Yes.
And that origin point, I say this to anyone, everything that we know about bedtime stories and fairy tale and lore and myth, it is rooted in something real.
Yep.
And that real that it is rooted in is Genesis 6:1-4.
That's exactly right.
That's where it all began. The book of Enoch. And I know some people go, okay, it's not in the canon of scripture. What are you doing in these extra biblical books? Well, we don't go to them for inspiration via the Holy Spirit, but it's like it's extended commentary on what's written in the canon of scripture. And when you have figures like a Jude, who quotes from
and
the book of Enoch
and Peter.
And the thing about Jude's quote is Jude quotes Enoch, and Enoch actually touches on what you said, Christ coming back with his saints.
This is accurate.
And Enoch's account is very detailed regarding Genesis 6:1-4. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get some information that God didn't see any necessary reason to include in Genesis to Revelation. I mean, but it's there and it's in harmony with the scripture. I mean, and it talks about these giants. They're the result of the sons of God and the daughters of men. But then once the giants came onto the earth and they sinned against everything and destroyed everything, the Bible says then they began to sin against nature.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
exactly.
I think that sinning against nature is where we get
these cryptids.
That's where we get them from.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the Bible says all the earth was corrupted, even the birds of the air, the fish of the sea.
Wow.
And I want to tell you, that meant that they crossbred with them.
They did.
Plants.
Yes.
Plant life. So plant life, animal life, every kingdom that there was,
wow,
they went after those things and they corrupted all the earth. Mm-hmm. All the earth was corrupted.
Yeah.
And so in the hierarchy of, say, the Greeks or the Romans, you have the Titans, and then you have the gods, then you have the demigods, then you have the cryptids.
Yeah.
That's stolen from how it actually works.
Absolutely.
Right on. Yeah. Well, when we go behind the veil, let's talk about that more.
Let's do that.
And we're going to explore a lot of biblical understanding of angels and then go, okay, if that was fallen, what would that look like? What would its realm be? And if it sinned against nature, what would its cryptid be?
Mm.
And let's do that whenever we go behind the veil.
That's cool.
Okay, right on.
I love that.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. If you're watching on social media, on any of our social media platforms, we're heading behind the veil. So that means we're going to be exclusively on ODX.TV. So join us today, if you haven't yet, as a Stage 2 or Stage 3 member, because this conversation is crazy. Show me two other pastors who dive into this topic in this way. It is so fascinating. And I love just sitting here, hearing the two of you just go back and forth, because not many people can hang with you, Pastor Troy, when you get into this stuff.
This brother's way ahead of me.
And I love that you guys are just like, man, it's so good. And we're going to be answering questions. So guys, if you're going to join us behind the veil, get your questions ready. We're going to get them answered. So head on over there to ODX.TV right now. And if you're watching anywhere else, guys, we're going to be right back here, same time, same place tomorrow at 1 p.m. So join us then.
And don't forget, tomorrow night,
yes,
this man of God is going to be with me at Open Door Church. Mm-hmm. He's going to be with us at Open Door Church tomorrow night. Come out and be a part of it. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yes.
It really truly is. Come out and join us.
So good. All right, guys, we're going to head behind the veil. We will see you on the other side.
This is Naomi, 16, 8 months pregnant, pulled from a river while running for her life from the evil men who had trafficked her. This is Emily, 15, betrayed by her own father and handed over to one of the most violent trafficking rings upon all the earth. This is Sophie and Anna, 12 and 15, sisters, sold into a life of sexual exploitation by their own mother. And this is Shravani, 8, vulnerable, sleeping on the ground with nobody to fight for. These faces all have one thing in common. They are all set free. And they are just 5 of the 11,000 children that we've rescued all over the world. I'm Troy Brewer, and for over 30 years, my team and I have been rescuing kids from the horrors of human trafficking. And friends, we are not stopping. These are the faces of freedom. Get in the fight with us. Go to troybrewer.com or call 877-413-0888. Because there's another face out there right now. Another child waiting for someone like you to step up and to say, not on our watch.